Today, I want to set the groundwork or the framework for the next 5 weeks or so. And it's the question that our Lord poses to the disciples. Who do people say that I am, and who do you say that I am? In your conversations, in your prayer, I hope and pray you ponder that question. You know, it is a question that people are asking more and more. It's a question with a lot of heart behind it, a lot of emotionality behind it. Some of those passionate questions about who God is, we saw and heard last week. It came in through our Twitter account. Can I believe in a God who has a plan for me? If it's sin to judge, what gives God the right to judge us? I'm sure we don't believe in the same God. Because why does God allow these things? And so on and so forth. Questions of the heart. We took those in light of the scriptures and tried to frame it in our homily theme. God, who does he think he is? God, who does he think he is? Some ask that when they say, I can't believe in a God who allows suffering. Is that possible? I can't believe in a God that allows kids to die. Why does that happen? I can't believe in a God who does whatever. These are real questions of the heart. And today Jesus throws it back on us. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Before we can address those questions of the heart, this is foundational and most important. Not surprisingly, the questions of our time are very similar to the questions of other cultures, of other people. Because this was so pressing, Jesus took the apostles to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi was a city with a lot of diversity. A lot of people asking the same question. Some with direction and some without. And so in answering the question, very unintentionally, people started following false gods. There was a group that created a god named Pan and another god named Baal, and they built huge temples, huge monuments to them. The Romans followed Zeus, and in the same community, they built a temple and a shrine to Zeus. The emperor thought he was God too. He kept telling people he was the son of God, and so they built an altar and a temple to the Caesar Augustus. So in the midst of all of those people, Jesus says, who do people say that I am? And who do you say that I am? Friends, our Lord was concerned about something. He was concerned that if the disciples didn't know who Jesus was, then the very act of suffering and dying would make no sense to them. And we'll see it in Peter in just a second. The disciples had experienced lots of things. Our experience is important. They had heard Jesus teach. They had seen lives change. They witnessed miracles. They realized that Jesus as a teacher taught through stories and parables. And now after all of that experience, he poses the question, who do people say that I am? Really, more importantly, who do you say that I am? Peter answers, you are the Christ. And he thinks deeper. You are Emmanuel, the word we hear at Christmas, God with us. You are a son of the living God. Jesus, you are the Messiah. And our Lord congratulates Peter. Good job, he says. I love Peter's humanness. I can just see him with the apostles. I got it, fellas, and you didn't. Aren't I great? And then our Lord goes on, Oh, Peter, let's be clear here. God always takes the initiative. You answered correctly because of the Father. He always takes the first step in our life. To the answer to the question, who do you say God is? He's going to take the first step. Faith then follows it. And all of those descriptors, Messiah, Emmanuel, Son of God, to understand what it means, Peter's going to have to step in faith. It is no different than you, for you or for me. So Peter says, you are the Messiah. And then what follows becomes real important. Because Jesus is going to start to reveal what it means to be Messiah. Do you know that who we are speaks so loudly, sometimes people don't hear what we're saying? Who we are, our actions, our demeanor speaks so loudly, people sometimes don't hear what we're saying. And our Lord says, Messiah, it means this, denial of self, and carrying a cross. And then Peter makes the typical human mistake. It's a good warning for us. You see, suffering and death have no place in Peter's mind for a Messiah. And what Peter is trying to do is he's trying to make God into his image. And Jesus rebukes him for it. God made us, friends. We cannot make God. Very important. God made us, and we cannot make God. So self-denial, carrying the cross, will be essential to our understanding and our answering of that question, who do you say that I am? Some who try to make God in their own image, try to make God in such a way as they can move him, that they can change him. Some people want to create a God that they can compel to act or manipulate in the way they want. Peter's headed down that path, and our Lord stops him. The Father made you. You can't make him. So go back to the teachings, the miracles, the stories, and keep trying to figure out who God is. Others want to bargain with God. Bargain with God. Others want to earn his love. There's another group that sometimes feels entitled. You know, we can't bargain with God. It never works. God, if you do this, I promise I'll do that. Never works. God won't be bargained with. We can't earn God's love. No amount of being good, doing good, no amount of praying, worshiping, living a moral life can earn God's love. At best, it's only a response to his love. And in this age of entitlement, the true story, friends, is we deserve nothing. We deserve nothing. And so all that we are, all that we have, is gift. Who do you say the Lord is? Are there ways you're aware of that you or others have fallen into the trap Peter was in, trying to make God in your image? If you are, welcome to the club. I'm part of it. I keep going back. God, who are you in your love and in your mercy? God, who are you in the face of our powerlessness? When life is unmanageable, when we have to carry that cross, God, who are you when I grow impatient because you don't seem to be acting quickly or you don't seem to be in a hurry to answer that prayer? God, where are you? Lord, where are you in the face of human suffering or my own suffering or a loved one's? God, where are you? And how do you work when you give us a free will and some can choose evil and yet you say you're still God? Where are you and how do you work? God, how do you work when the order of nature just keeps unfolding but people seem to get hurt in the process? God, where are you? Foundational question. Who do people say that I am? Who do you say that I am? As you answer that question, if you can put words to your answer, keep going back to the parables, to the teachings. Keep going back to the miracles. Keep going back to the teachings of our Lord. Open your mind to 2,000 plus years of wisdom and tradition that explains what can be explained. That will lead you to understand as much as is possible for us to understand who the Lord is. It may even come in a debate or a conversation. Two people were debating about who was the most influential person on the earth. Of all the people that lived in human history, these two were debating about who was the most influential. After naming a number of names of great women and men, they came down to two: Shakespeare or Jesus. And these two debated about the two: Shakespeare or Jesus. Who is the greatest figure on the face of the earth? Somebody entered into that discussion, a third party, and this is what he said. He said, you know, if William Shakespeare were to come back to life and walk into this room right now, everybody would rise and greet him. In our Benedictine style of hospitality, we'd probably applaud him too. It's just part of who we are as holy namers. This guy said if William Shakespeare walked in, that's what people would do. But if Jesus walked in, he said everybody would fall down and worship. He said there's an essential difference between the man from Nazareth, Jesus, and William Shakespeare. Jesus is God. And all others, William Shakespeare or anybody else, no matter what their deeds are but merely fools strutting onto the stage of life for only a brief time. And then they exit, as do we.